Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. In fact, Larry and Laverne Kreider here this morning. And we're going to talk about another test of leadership. It's the test of success, believe it or not. And success is a great thing. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, if you meditate on my word, you know, then you'll have great success. And that's true. Obey his word, that's true. But effective leaders never forget where they came from. God's the one who actually brings success. So success as a believer in Christ is pleasing God with your life. And that's just really true success. Not so much is my business successful, or is the church I lead successful, or my family successful. Are we successful in our walk with the Lord? That's really what's most important.
You know, C.S. Lewis said this. You talk about, you know, knowing where you've come from and not having pride in competition. Because usually in success, what happens is, yes, God desires you to be successful, but he's really desires us to be pleasing to him, to be faithful.
Right.
And this pride in competition is what can really lead to, you know, just a deception in our lives. And we see people fall because of just pride and competition in their lives. And C.S. Lewis said it pretty well when he talked about pride and competition. He said, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. Once the element of competition has gone, pride is gone. Pride is competitive by its very nature, and that's why it just keeps going on and on. And so when you're talking about the success test, it's not that we are not successful, but it's the how we handle success, right?
It's how do we respond to success that God gives us.
Yes.
And knowing that true success is obviously walking with God, and success in our relationship with our God, that's really true success. But it can be our greatest test, really. As you said, it can produce pride or the feeling that we've done this on our own rather than remembering it's God who gave the grace to really do it all. And, you know, Moses cautioned the Israelites against this tendency and to take credit for their success. And he said it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 12, 13, 14. And I quote the scripture, "For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in," Moses said, "and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold are multiplied along with everything else, be careful." And what should we be careful about? "Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt." Again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 8. And the Bible is filled with stories of those who were successful, and then they thought that somehow, you know, their success is because of their own grace, their own strength. And we've got to remember, it's God in the past, God in the future, God in the now. It's all Jesus. It's all the Lord. So King Uzziah, you know, is a great example. And you read this in 2 Chronicles 26 and 16. Yeah, he was successful, smart, popular king, ruled well, and his kingdom became very powerful. But what happened, his success went to his head. And he became, you know, though he was powerful, the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 26, "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall." Isn't that something? So although he had done many good things, helped God's people, he did not give God the credit, and he did not end well. So when he started doing things his way, then God was not pleased. And a final straw really came when he entered the inner room of the temple, thought he could do that. When he wasn't graced from the Lord, wasn't really supposed to be doing that. Only the priests were allowed there. And God struck him with leprosy, and he lived the rest of his days as an outcast. Isn't that amazing? This man who was used of God.
So
yet
sad.
At the end, the pride came into his heart. That's why this is such an important test.
Well, the scripture does say God resists the proud. Of course, he loves everyone, but there's a resistance.
Right.
He resists that pride, but he gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
And so there is this place of humility that God is desiring in our hearts that keeps us from, when no matter how successful we
right,
are,
right.
But that keeps us in a place
that's,
of
that's so good. And we don't want God resisting
Jesus,
us.
Yeah.
We don't want God resisting us. But pride, God will resist us.
Yeah.
But we want to receive grace and walk in humility in our attitudes, in our heart, and things we say, and walking in humility. I mean, there's almost nothing worse than hanging around people that are always prideful, always talking about the things they've done,
and bragging,
they've done this, and they've been bragging, and it just gets so old to me. No, we walk in the grace of God. Every good thing God could ever do is because of his grace. Yeah, another biblical king was Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he was mightily, you know, in the Babylonian Empire, but all these incredible achievements, all these things happened, but he had no room for God in his kingdom. And late in his reign, he had a wake-up call. If you remember the story, overnight he went from a powerful king to a wandering madman. He was out in the fields, you know, he grew long hair and nails and roaming the hillsides, grazing on grass. Crazy. 7 years into this craziness, Nebuchadnezzar returned to his senses, walked in humility. He realized his lifelong mistake of taking the credit for his success and became a God-fearing man, recognized God. It was the God who's the mightier king. He was king of the universe, a king that lasts forever. I love Nehemiah because Nehemiah was just the opposite. And Nehemiah was a prophet in the Bible who passed his test early, you know, when he got he was the cupbearer for the king. And when Nehemiah got this call from God to, you know, go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls, he's walking such humility the whole way through. I mean, he wasn't even the one that got the vision. The vision was his brother came
that's
back
true.
And told him.
You
know, and that's really important. All people were successful. They think, well, I got this vision.
Yeah.
Well, God gave the vision.
Always people around
exactly,
us.
And, exactly. Exactly. And not just him. And I mean, I love success stories. I mean, that's, you know, I love to hear how God's blessed people. And for example, I love this story. Thomas Monaghan, many people never heard of. He was the founder of Domino's Pizza. And I love his story. He grew up in foster homes and in an orphanage after his father died. He was only 4 years of age, and his mother decided she couldn't take care of him or his brother. No college degree. He founded Domino's Pizza with his brother, who later traded his share for a Volkswagen Beetle. Well, Monaghan says he went through an unfulfilling materialistic phase in his life, but he became rich. He said, I bought antique cars, bought yachts. He bought the Detroit Tigers baseball team. It was major. But he said, I realized there's something much better. He really wanted to walk with God. I wanted to walk in humility before God. Not that this was wrong, but he realized he wants to spend his time helping people and obeying God. And so what he did was he sold Domino's Pizza in 1998 for $1 billion.
Wow.
At the age of 61. And after going out of the pizza business, he focused on just giving, philanthropy, and his faith, because he loved Jesus. And he says he's now investing in helping people get to heaven. That's what he's investing in now. And again, everyone isn't called to sell their business. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm simply saying that here's a man who he had a rough time growing up. God gave him grace, started a business, you know, bought out his brother with his Volkswagen Beetle and founded Domino's. $1 billion, I mean, that's a ton of money today. But in 1998, that was really a ton of money. And I love what he says. He's wealthy or not, here's his advice. Put God first. Pray to God to ask what his will is. Listen and follow. Don't build an empire. Grow a company by serving employees, serving customers, and serving suppliers. He said, a CEO life of extravagance is nothing more than the sin of pride. Getting rich and can be enjoyable. He said, but giving it away, that's fulfilling.
It's powerful.
Yeah. And I remember I read once that he said, what he loves doing is helping people come to know God. Amazing,
that's
huh?
That's very powerful.
Yeah. So, bottom line is God's call us to be teachable. Anything you'd like to say about that?
Yeah, well, I think that's when leaders need to stay teachable. You know, that's a real key to learn from others and to stay teachable and to realize and to look at success the way God looks at success. I mean, when Jesus was on the cross, he didn't look very successful.
That's good.
You know, as people around him were like, well, that doesn't look very successful, but Sunday was coming, you know.
Right, right.
There was going to be a resurrection. And sometimes in our lives, you know, seasons that we go through don't look like by the world standard successful, but there's a bigger picture.
Exactly.
As we're putting God first and as we're seeking his face, you know, he brings about his purposes. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, when there's a death or in a vision or anything like that, there's always a resurrection that's going to come,
right,
you know.
Right.
So
yeah, without a death, there's no resurrection. Yeah, you know, so yeah. That's really important to understand. I think one of the examples in Scripture of a story of someone who really was teachable was Apollos. Apollos was a powerful young man. In fact, in Acts 16, he was preaching, to large crowds, and people were amazed at how God was using him. But he had some deficiencies in his teaching. He was teaching the baptism of John, didn't know as much about Jesus. And so what happened is Aquila and Priscilla, that husband and wife, powerful mm-hmm. team, you know, they heard him, they took him aside, and they said, you know, you're a great speaker. God's really using you, but there's some things you need to change. And rather than being prideful, I mean, Aquila and Priscilla, they were leaders in the church. They had basically had house churches. But he was an amazing young man. I mean, he was drawing crowds. There's no place
about what they were. He was teachable, right?
But he was teachable.
Yeah.
Because he was teachable, God could continue to use him. And even though he was really popular, he could have said, can't you see how popular I am?
Yeah.
See the crowds I have? He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm God's man for the hour. And he said, basically, he was teachable, willing to listen. And he went out and was even with more power, more grace, more anointing, because he was teachable. And that's the real key, I think, in understanding this whole test of the test of success. Are we teachable? Are we willing to not only obey God, but are we willing to listen to others who God placed in our lives? So how do we handle compliments? Laverne, how do you handle compliments when someone gives you a compliment?
Well, because when you are successful, you know, quote, you know, people can say, or like you had a good, you know, a good message, or, right. you know, like for me, someone might come up and say, oh, that was really great. Instead of just like, you know, kind of like, oh, I don't want to, no, I don't want to, I'll just say thank you. Mm-hmm. But in my spirit, I often, it's just like, okay, Lord, I know that it was you in me. And I'll just, I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that said already that she gets all these compliments and people thank her. At the end of the day, she just sees them as a bouquet that she hands up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know?
And I think that's really what, we can get into false humility, I think.
Yeah.
And we should be grateful people would compliment us. And we, of course, it's the grace of God. We can express that. But to say, no, it wasn't me, wasn't that great? That's where we get into insecurity rather than, like you said, taking this as a beautiful flower and then handing it back to God. That's a great illustration that Corrie gave. And, I mean, obviously, we need to continually be at the pass a success test, be ready to fight spiritual battles. We need to do that. You know, the scripture says, he runs at me like a warrior in Job 16:14. There is a place that we need to stand against the powers of darkness. And, you know, when the enemy comes against us, as we're, you know, involved in life, in whatever area it is. But if we can understand and recognize that, it's Christ in us giving us the power to be the warrior he's called us to be. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Mm-hmm. So if my success is getting to me, I need to resist the devil and trust Jesus to work his life in me and through me. And I guess that's one reason I like Brother Lawrence so much. You know, one of my favorite books, you know, The Practice of the Presence of the Lord. You know, he was a leader in his own way in the Catholic Church. And much was written about him was written after he had passed on. But, you know, God taught him to practice the presence of God. And I think if we're practicing the presence of God in our lives, and we see God's given us success, we're going to look to him. We're going to look to Jesus and not be concerned about, you know, is this something that I've done on my own, which not. Christ in us has done it in us and through us.
Because he always said, I see God at work, whether I'm flipping the omelet in my pan or working in the kitchen or we're in my prayer room. God is always at work. God is at work in my life and I'm going to see God at work. And in that place, it does keep us in a place of just total dependence, total surrender to the Lord.
It's 24/7 Jesus.
Yeah. So it is Christ doing that work, and we don't take credit for it. But we just know that it's Christ working and living through us.
He learned, and I think we learned with him, Brother Lawrence, that true success is practicing the presence of God in our lives and walking with him and walking with Jesus. And I know Mother Teresa learned some of this too. Yeah. Go ahead and talk to us about that.
Well, I think I read one place she said it's not the importance of being successful. As she said that we're not called to be successful, you know, even though, you know, we know that, you know, God
will honor success, right.
But it's not that we're called to be, but we're called to be faithful.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real key. The key is being faithful to God and keeping our hearts in tune with him and in submission to him.
Someone once told me, never forget where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so true. You know, I often talk about, I grew up a chicken farmer, you know, mm-hmm. and chicken farming is great. It's awesome. There's nothing less or more spiritual about that than planting a church or leading a ministry or whatever. But we just never forget where we came from. Mm-hmm. I think it makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. And tell the stories mm-hmm. of what God did in our lives.
Because you can see His grace, isn't mm-hmm. it? I love to hear stories. Just the other day we were talking to someone, just hearing their stories, I just got tears in my eyes because I saw the grace on their lives.
Right.
And when we tell our story, we're like, oh my goodness, God's grace. It just carried us through that. Oh, He carried us through that area and that season. Mm-hmm. And even through the hard times, you know, and it's just powerful.
Let me close by reading again, Deuteronomy 8, 12, 13, 14. And this is really the bottom line of what we're talking about, this test of success. For God says, when you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and your herds have become very large, and your silver and gold are multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt.
Yes.
God rescued us mm-hmm. from all kinds of slavery, internal things and external things and all kinds of things. You know, He's rescued us. And let's never forget in the midst of the good things He's done and thank Him for that. That is all the Lord. It all has come from Him. And we never forget where we came from.
Oh, so good. Amen.
Any closing thoughts?
Nope. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, we're so glad you joined us today for the Larry Crowder Leadership Podcast, 21 Tests of Leadership. And today, dealing especially with the test of success. Check out the show notes. The show notes will give you more insights and more things that you can study and even learn more about this. Obviously, much of what we talked about comes from the book Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership, and this book is available wherever you buy books, the Dove International Bookstore, Amazon, or wherever you buy books. So, and again, may God give you grace to continue to pass test after test after test after test, and we're trusting Him to give His grace to continue to walk with Him. So never forget where you came from. Remember that. So God bless you. Look forward to seeing you back here again real soon.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crowder's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrowder.com.